Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Again, greetings, Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Greetings. I come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to encourage the saints, dear Heavenly Father, to be a witness and a light to the lost, dear Heavenly Father, and to glorify your name. Lord, please be with this message, be with each and every person who's receiving it, whether here or online or any way they get this message, Lord. Let it touch the hearts of all the hearers and let the name of Jesus be lifted high. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings, chapter 19. 1 Kings, chapter 19, and we will be reading from verse 1 through verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 19. And your key verse here today will be verse 4. Your key verse will be verse 4. And it reads in the King James Bible. Oh, by the way, I got to give y'all the praise report. About two nights ago, all of a sudden my right eye got clear. Praise God. Praise God. And I thank y'all for your prayers because it's been there. It's been a very slow process, but it was literally 1 minute I was having a very difficult time seeing paper and reading, and then so I just thank y'all for your prayers. Amen. I know he's a healing God, y'all. I know it. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abelimaho, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay." Verse 18, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." Verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Amen. A lot of text, but we're going to condense it, y'all. We're going to condense it. And I'm going to condense it dealing with that key verse, verse 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's.'" Today we're going to talk about a man called Elijah. A man called Elijah. A literal translation of his name is "My God is Jehovah." A man called Elijah. We started this last week in Psalm 31, where we were talking about depressed. If you're depressed, deliverance is available. If you're depressed, deliverance is available. Now, I know that when I say, even to a crowd this size, if you're depressed, deliverance is available. Lord knows there's people right here with us today who name the name of Jesus. And this weight, this heaviness has come upon them. And we call it the blues. We call it depression. But it's on you. And they tell me that one out of every six people in the United States of America is on a psychiatric drug to control their depression. One is to calm them down, and the other is to pick them back up. And then the other one is to calm them down, and the other one is to pick them back up. Well, here's what I want you to know. When we talk about this man named Elijah, this man called Elijah, and depression it's real. Man, is it real. And it's devastating, and it's debilitating. And you know what else it does? It takes away your service for God. God doesn't mean for you to be in a state of where you cannot function and serve him. So therefore, I believe, according to the word of God, since there's nothing new under the sun, God is giving us a way out. If we'll take it, God is giving us a way out. And why would I say that? Because we're going to talk about a man named Elijah, great man of God, great man of God. Elijah, when Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, they looked up, and who did they see on the Mount of Transfiguration? They saw Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. Wow, Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. Every year when the Jewish community, when they do the Passover Seder, you know what they do every year? Every year they set a plate for Elijah. And then at the end of the service, they have the youngest person in the room go look out the door and say, "Is he coming yet?" He said, "No, not yet. Maybe next year." The book of James, The book of James tells us this man named Elijah. Elijah prayed, and God shut the heavens for 3 years and 6 months, and it refused to rain at the request of Elijah. And people say, well, that was a fluke. And you would call it that unless you knew the rest of the story when it says, and then he prayed again, and God let it rain. God listened to Elijah. But turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17. It says, Elias, that's a Greek translation of Elijah. So we're talking about the same man. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And we'll stop right there. Wait a minute. This is the man that Peter, James, and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the man that the Jews are looking for every Passover Seder. This is the man who prayed and God stopped the rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then when he prayed again, God opened up the heavens and allowed it to rain. And then the book of James has the audacity to say, you know what? Elijah ain't no different than you and me. That'll mess you up for a while. That'll mess you up for a while. He says, this man was of the like passions, just like you, just like me. That means the feelings and the encumbrances and even the exuberations that we have, the extreme highs, the extreme lows. Elijah was subject to them just like you and I. So Christians, the fact that you end up depressed, the fact that you get confused, that's not the point, because everybody who's in depression, people don't choose to go into depression. People just slide into depression. And the fact that you're there, understand this. The ways that people end up in depression are as varied as the number of people you talk to. Amen. Some people, a sickness took them down. Some people, a broken relationship, it took them down. Some people, bullying. I hate that term, but I'll use it for now, because what they call bullying today, understand this, they use the word bullying because it allows you to put any definition to it that you want to put to it. That's one of those words. So in the true sense of bullying, where somebody is messing with you, sometimes it starts causing you to go into a funk, a depression. So the way that people end up, the way that people end up down in depression is very varied. It's very varied. You cannot help the fact that you ended up in depression. But you have a choice as to whether you want to stay there or not. You hear me? Getting out is an option. Getting out is available to everybody, or God's a liar. Because Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Can I get an amen on that? So what that means, let's give us a nice little translation here. If you're not in that mode where you're living life, Zoe is a Greek word. You're living life. If you're not in that mode, and it doesn't matter what physical condition you're in, it doesn't matter what monetary situation you're in, but if you're not living life, that's an option that you have. But you got it. But the way out for anybody and everybody is only through the Word of God. How you get in? It varies. How you get out? One way. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. You know, you can twist yourself into every yoga position that you ever thought feasible. Even the ones that you think you couldn't get into. You can twist yourself into those yoga positions, and guess what? You can have kind of peace here on earth, and you're going to die and still go to hell. Yoga is a religion, y'all. And it's a religion designed to prepare you for the afterlife, a bad afterlife. This, how do we get out of this depression, Pastor? If Elijah could do it, you know, let's see what got Elijah into his depressed state. In the case of Elijah, he got into his depressed state through persecution. We're going to talk about persecution. We're going to talk about preparation. We're going to talk about perspective. And then we're going to talk about pass it on. Persecution, preparation, perspective, pass it on. Ultimately, what I want you to get from this, ultimately, is when you hear this message and when you hear this whole series of message, is that last week we talked about how do people, here's the primary three, the big three of how people end up in depression. They feel forgotten. They feel as though they are like a tool that is no longer useful. And they have constant fear. They feel forgotten. They feel useless, and they feel afraid. And those three enemies just come kind of, when they just kind of come down on top of you, it's a hard thing, y'all. It's a hard thing. But let's see how did this man who has like passions, just like you and I, how did he deal with this? How did he get in it, and how did he get out of it? Verses 1 and 2, persecution. And it tells you in verses 1 and 2, that we know about Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. He had challenged his country. He had challenged his country, Israel, to turn back to the one true and living God. I'm saying to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, I'm saying to America, turn back to the one true and living God. Stop dabbling with false gods. Stop talking about, well, all religions are the same. That's a lie. The Bible proves that and covers that from cover to cover. Turn back to the one true and living God. And Elijah, that was what he was dealing with in his day and age. Nothing is new. And the Bible tells you that Elijah, he went against the 500 prophets of Baal. He called down fire when they couldn't get their altars lit. He called down fire. God answered his prayers. And then the Bible says that he killed 500 prophets of Baal. And you talk about an emotional high. You talk about, for any of y'all who've been in an athletic competition, how many been in an athletic competition? I see one or two athletes out there. I know who I'm going to, I'm going to pick Special K. I'm going to pick Special K because I know Special K. He was some kind of athlete. No, y'all, he was some kind of athlete. What about... He can still run a little bit now, okay. But think about this. What about the day that you won the championship that sent y'all to the bowl game? He was the quarterback, y'all. And they won the championship, which sent them to the bowl game. Man, whoa! Man, how wonderful. How exciting. How exciting. We all know the thrill of victory. But ooh, when the agony of defeat comes. It changed. We all know that too, because we haven't wanted everything. But you know that euphoric feeling. Elijah just stood in front of all of Israel and he said, God, cover my back. God, don't let me be ashamed. God, I'm going to say in front of all these people that God is going to answer this prayer. And he did it. He's up here. And then very shortly after that, the king's wife, Jezebel, call her Jezzy, Jezzy. She found out. I think it's so pathetic. Ahab goes to his wife. Elijah killed all your prophets. And Elijah and Jezebel said, she said, I want to send him a messenger. I was reading one commentator, and he made it. It's pretty good. It's interesting. Just something to think about. He said Jezebel is like a terrorist. She's like a master terrorist. Why would she send a messenger saying she's going to kill him? Why don't she just go kill him? Think about that. She had the ability to go kill him, but no, she sent, or maybe she didn't because the people thought him to be a prophet of God. And Jezzy had enough sense not to mess with the prophet of God immediately. But once she sent that message, all that euphoria dissipated. All the euphoria went away because he did know one thing for certain. She wasn't bluffing. She wasn't joking. And so here you have where she sent a messenger to Elijah and said, I'm going to kill you. If I don't do to you by tomorrow what you did to my prophets, may I end up dead. That's basically what she's saying. So here, and that would be extreme bullying. If you don't do what I tell you to do, not only am I going to beat your brains out, I'm going to kill you. So when you find yourself, or even you teenagers, you young people, when you find something coming at you that you just feel you just cannot handle, you know, this kid is messing with you or that kid is messing with you, mom and daddy ain't going to be there always. But I tell you who can be. Jesus. I'm telling you, you can call on the name of the Lord 24/7 and he won't make you be ashamed of calling on him. Amen. He says, Lord, when she said that I'm going to kill you, then the Bible says, verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. Elijah took her serious. He ran for his life. He ran and he came to the city of Beersheba, the land of Beersheba. Now, that should have been far enough for him to get away because he was in northern Israel. That's where Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom. Ahab and Jezebel, and Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom, and Jehoshaphat was a godly man. And so Elijah surely could have just stopped in Beersheba. Boom. I'm good. I'm in safe land. But see, when that depression gets in, Elijah said, that ain't far enough. I got to get farther away. And the Bible says that he leaves his servant there at Beersheba. Servant safe, I got to get out of here. And he takes off and he heads into the wilderness. That's where some of my folks in here right now. You're in the wilderness. Life has dealt you a harsh blow. And I'm not going to negate the blow. But life has dealt you a harsh blow, and you're going down. You're going away from the safety of God. You're going in the wrong direction from God. Elijah, you say to yourself, wait a minute, Elijah, stop for a minute. You just took on the prophets of Baal, 500 strong. You and God was a majority. What happened? What happened? He gave place to Satan. I'm saying to you, don't give place to the devil. Because your God is greater than anything that he has to throw at you. Your God is mightier than anything he has to throw at you. But yet and still, he took off for the wilderness. And not only got out deep into the wilderness, and this is where it really hits some people. They say that it's, I don't know about this, but they say quite a few people consider suicide. Quite a few people attempt suicide. And quite a few people succeed at suicide. Elijah a man, same passions, you and I. But don't forget, not only did he have the same passions, but he had a prayer life that brought fire down from heaven. He had a prayer life that stopped the rain for three and a half years. Don't forget that part. Like passions, but here he is, y'all. Here he is saying, God, he requested, in verse 4, he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of the hurt. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of this ex-wife, this ex-husband. I'm tired of this bully at school. I'm tired of this boss. I'm just tired of living. I don't want to live anymore. Lord, just take me. Just take me. Just take me. I can't take it anymore. Just take me. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven, and I know I'm going to have to apologize to God when I get there, but Lord, just take me. Just take me. I can't take this anymore. I can't take it anymore. And you look at that, you say, how could Elijah do that? How could a man like Elijah do that? Well, y'all, Elijah's in good company. Jonah, chapter 4, verse 3. Jonah. Chapter 4, verse 3, and it reads, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Wait a minute, isn't this the great prophet Jonah? Isn't this the man who preached and a whole town, a whole city, the city of Nineveh turned, repented, and called on the name of the Lord? And this man is saying, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. It's just better for me to die. Well, what about Jeremiah? What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah, chapter 4. No, excuse me. Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter 20. Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Now, understand, church, these are godly men. These are men who love the Lord. So I'm just giving you these men so that you, when you find yourself in that state of depression, understand you're in some pretty good company, but understand there's a way out. You're not forgotten, you're not useless, and you don't have anybody or anything to fear. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Here's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and he says, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. Jeremiah said, I wish I was never born. And guess what? There's many out here in the congregation today, many listening online. You're in a dark place. You're in a very dark place. Either you think you've been forgotten, either you think that God considers you useless, or you're just surrounded and ate up with fear. I want you to know there's a way out. There's a way out. I love the way that when Elijah lays out what's wrong with him, and he's telling God that I'm no better than my forefathers. I'm just a nobody. You know, he's having this incredible pity party, and God, you just don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. Nobody likes me. Nobody helps me. In fact, we're going to talk about how God starts preparing. Once Elijah lays out his case and he shows us how he ended up in this funk, in this depression, then we see how God started preparing him. In verses 3 through 10, God starts preparing him. When you read that, I'm not going to read every verse there, but I'm going to tell you, when you read that, and Elijah's sitting here and he's telling God about, Lord, life is too hard. Lord, I can't take it. Lord, just kill me, just take me home. I don't want to suffer no more. I don't want to fight no more. I don't want to stand no more. And God's not even paying attention to him. God's not even paying attention to him. When you read this, you'll see that. God just starts talking to him. God just starts talking to him. See, because I told you there's a way out. There's a way out. And it's the word of God. It's not some deep psychiatric, psychological mumbo jumbo. It's believe God. Lean on God. Trust not. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, in all of our ways, trust him. Well, I didn't say it was easy, y'all, but I said, but that's what it is. It's simple. That's what it is. And the thing is the spiritual growth that it takes for us. And praise God. Praise God. Can everybody here say, you know what, Pastor? I have moved forward. I'm not what I was in my Christian walk 3 years ago. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. Can you say, I'm not where I need to be yet? Amen. All of us. And that's why Elijah had hit this pit. He had hit this stumbling block. And now God is speaking to him. And God is telling, first God has an angel come to him. And you'll see here, again, y'all read the text for yourself between verses 3 and 10. I just have to summarize it somewhat. But in this particular area, it says that Elijah goes out into the wilderness. And when he's out in the wilderness, he just goes to sleep. He curls up in a ball, and he goes to sleep. Some of the people in here, some of the more mature saints in here, you'll remember a young lady. Well, she's passed now. But there was a show called The Patty Duke Show. And some of y'all might have seen it on the reruns. See, since I don't have my dish anymore, I got to watch regular TV. So every now and again, that stuff come on regular TV. So The Patty Duke Show. And her name was Patty Duke. And some people know, but not everybody know, Patty Duke was a very, very, very famous actress. At one point, she was one of the most famous actresses on the planet. Not just America, on the planet. Her show was just that popular. But I saw her on a show when she was older, and she said she was in such a state of depression that she'd get off work on Friday, she'd go to her room, she'd curl up in a ball, and this messed me up. She said, I did not get up to eat or go to the restroom or do anything until Monday morning when I went back to work. Y'all hear me? Had more money than she could spend in a lifetime. But the depression, people slide into it. Rich, famous, poor, we slide into it. She said, I laid in that bed. Now, you don't lay in bed when you're depressed because you're tired. You lay in bed because you just can't get up. And she said, I laid there from Friday when I got off work to Monday morning when the time to punch that clock and go put on a happy face. God doesn't want you to put on a happy face. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He sent his son that you might have life and have life more abundantly. And it's available. It's available. So look, here Elijah is. He go to sleep. He's knocked out. He's depressed. And it says that the angel of the Lord came and tapped him. Psst, hey, Elijah, wake up. Time to eat. Bible says Elijah woke up, and he looked. He's like, there was some food and water right there waiting on him. And he's, oh, man, you know, he's thinking God's pretty good. You know, so he ate the food and the water. Went right back into his depression, right back to sleep. The Bible says, angel Lord came to him a second time. Elijah, get up, wake up, you got work to do. See, I said that to say this to you. If you're a child of God, I know, if you're dealing with depression, I know for a fact he's already called you. I know a fact he's already tapped you on the shoulder. And I want you to know for a fact he'll come back again. Because that's the kind of God he is. He said, because he won't let you rest because he got work for you to do. So he sent the angel of the Lord to tap him on the shoulder and say, get up, Elijah. Get up. time to go to work. And he had some more food for him, and he fed him. And he said, and look, and you'll see in the scripture, he says, where he says, you got, he goes, you're going to need more strength than what you have to do what I got for you to do. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Elijah just not tell him, I just want to die. Leave me alone. I just want to curl up in a ball and die. Leave me alone. No. No, because I got work for you to do. Each and everybody who's named by the name, the Bible tells you in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, he goes, you were saved unto good works. Now, who's going to do the good work if you don't stick around to do the good work? Amen. See, that's why depression is so such an abominable thing to God, because God said, folks out here knocking on doors, going on the internet, filling out job applications. I need a job. God said, I already got a job for you. He said, I got something I want you to do, and then the other stuff you do on the side. But I got something I want you to do. So you aren't allowed to check out emotionally. We are not allowed to check out physically. Because God's got work that will glorify him. And I'm here to tell you, y'all, it'll bless you. Oh, if God's work will get you out of the funk like you won't believe. It will get you up and it will get you out if you'll just let him. If you'll just let him. If you'll just relent, because he still gives you the option. But if you will just relent, say, Lord, I want to get myself off of these pills. Lord, I want to get myself off of this medication. And I'm not advocating for it. I'm not telling somebody to go out and throw away your medicine. What I'm doing is I'm telling you start reading this word and praying. Reading this word and praying. And understand, it's not new. Elijah wanted to die. Jonah wanted to die. Jeremiah wanted to die. Job wanted to die. It ain't new. It ain't deep. Working for God is hard. God put some stuff on you. God tell you go talk to people you don't even want to talk. Not only talk to them, you don't even be in their presence. He said, now go and smile and be nice to them and tell them about me. And don't not only tell them about me, but tell them how blessed you are. And you sitting here trying to curl up in the ball and be left alone. Get up out that bed. Get up out that. Open those curtains. Ooh, I'm touching some folks now. Open those curtains. Let God's light shine into your house. Amen. Open those curtains. Don't enable the darkness. Don't enable the darkness. Let that sun come in. Let that S-U-N come in and it'll remind you of the S-O-N. And let you know that he's still in charge. Let's move on. Let's move on. God told Elijah, he said, look, he said, I'm going to feed you because you cannot do what I want you to do on what you're trying to live off right now. You need some strength. So that's where he fed him. And then it says in verse 8, they said, and he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the Mount of God. Does Mount Oreb sound familiar to y'all? Mount Oreb, there's another name that Mount Oreb is used in the scriptures. It's Mount Sinai. What took place on Mount Sinai, y'all? That's where Moses went. That's where Moses went and received the law. God, here Elijah is. Wonder if that's where him and Moses met before they got to the Mount of Transfiguration. We'll have to ask. Because it said that Moses and Elijah were on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know what took place. That's just my sanctified imagination. Amen. And so he took off and he went to the Mount of God. And then he went to a cave. He went to a cave. And then I want you to, in verses 11 through 14. Before I get there. He went into this cave, verse 9. He went into this cave, and God said to him, Elijah, what are you doing in this cave? See, because Elijah went from sleeping underneath the juniper tree, asking God to kill him, to going out to the Mount of Oreb, he's going to go into the cave and hide out and try to continue in his depression. And God says, Elijah, What are you doing here? Church, you can't outrun your troubles, and you can't outrun God. So why don't you just stop, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and say, Lord, here I am. Take me just as I am. Just as I am without a plea. I got nothing to offer to you. If you can find something you can use for me to do, please let me do it for your kingdom, Lord. If you got anything I can do, let me do it, Lord. Let me do it. And Elijah ain't through getting straightened out yet. God said, what are you doing there? And in verse 10, he goes into this diatribe. And he says, I have been very jealous. Oh, turn your Bibles to Romans 11. Romans 11 and 2. This way you can see the emphasis when I read this for you. Romans 11:2 reads, this is a commentary on what took place here at the cave. The commentary reads, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? Again, I told you that's a Greek translation for Elijah. How he maketh intercession to God against Israel. Wait a minute. Now go back over here to 1 Kings, because you're thinking, when you see this in 1 Kings, you're thinking when he says, and he said, I have been, verse 10, in chapter 19, verse Kings, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God, oh Lord, everybody picking on me. Oh, let's have a pity party for Elijah. Oh, Lord, don't you see everybody's against me? I got a right to be depressed. I got a right to be depressed. I got a right to be mad at everybody. He tried to seek God on Israel. See, when you're depressed, you don't think straight. You don't think right. You don't think in a godly fashion. But here he is interceding against his own people to try to get God to get them. And I tell you, though, but when he said, Jezebel don't like me. The Israelites don't like me. I'm not sure. But I was reading one of them contraband Bibles. It wasn't the King James. But I think in one of those contraband Bibles, I think I saw where it said, and his dog bit him. I might be wrong. But life was tough. Life was tough for Elijah, y'all. It was tough. When you decide you're going to serve God, you got to be girded up. You got to be ready for the fight, because God's got some stuff. And understand, I'm talking to the young folks now. Understand, as soon as you purpose in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord, as soon as you say, I want to belong to Jesus, I want you to know that the devil will marshal all the forces of hell that he can against you. Bringing everybody that you know, everybody in your little clique, everybody in your little circle is saying, oh, come on, man, you can't believe that. I mean, come on, you believe in Jesus? Come on, you can't believe that. Oh. Here he is pleading his case. And then God, what God has to do for Elijah and what God has to do for you and I is he has to show us the contrast between his power and the world's persecution. He's got this. See, because I told you, you're not forgotten. You're not useless. And you have nobody or nothing to be afraid of. Watch. Elijah's in the cave hiding out because he's scared. And in verse 11, the word of God says, and he says, chapter 19, verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. Break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You and I have nothing to fear from nature. Nature is subject to God Almighty. You don't have to worry about running out of food in 12 years. You don't have to worry about running out of fossil fuel in 12 years. You don't have to worry about being burnt up by the sun, being flooded out by the rain, because the one who is over and who created the wind and the rain, and the one that when he just even passes by the proximity of the wind and the rain, nature has to bow down to him. Understand that, church. Don't let people get you shook up about stuff that can't happen according unless God do it. Oh, Lord. He goes, you're afraid of a woman who's threatening to kill you. You're afraid of the children of Israel who don't like you. You're afraid of somebody bullying you online. You're afraid of your boss making you lose your job. You're afraid that somebody's going to put you out on social media. You're afraid of all these things. You're scared. But God says, wait a minute. Look at here. This is the best they can do. I want you to see what I can do. And then you decide which voice you should listen to. See, they shout loud. Oh, they shout loud. They shout pride, my pride. I got pride in this. And then the Bible says that God comes along and he contrasts with this still, small voice. And he says, Elijah, now that you've seen a little bit of what I can do, Elijah. And he repeats what he said in verse 9. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you down in this hole? Why are you beating yourself up? Why are you doubting me? Did you see what I just did, Elijah? Did you see that demonstration of my power? And I say to everybody here who's dealing with this depression, take a look around. Take a look around and see what God has brought you through. Oh, my goodness. Every time you get on that highway, and then people been drinking whatever they want to drink and smoking whatever they want to smoke and drive. And laws don't mean diddly squat to them. And you still made it home. And you still made it here. And you think you got here by your good luck and your good fortune. It's called God's providence, church. And God says, give me the glory. Give me the praise. And once you realize what I do for you daily, when you talk to a doctor, I told y'all, I used this before. When I go to the doctor and I look at the list of things that I don't have and the list of the things that I could have, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even if I got to check. I got to check off a few more than I used to. But even still, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So when I see what he's done and I say, how can I not submit myself and say, Lord, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Use me. That's what this message is for. So that people, God's people will understand he's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you and he wants to use you, but you got to step up to the plate. God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he ran that tired old line by him one more time. Same thing he said in verse 10, he said in verse 14. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. And again, I submit to you, there's many ways to get into depression, but there's only one way out, and that's to listen to the word of God. Many ways to get in there, but only one way out. And look at Elijah. Elijah said, oh, nobody know the trouble I seen. Okay. And then you see verses 15 through 17. While Elijah is still moping and whining and complaining about his situation and his circumstance, look at the verses 15 through 17. I won't read it, but you just read it for yourself. God commissions him to do a job. Wait a minute. God, you must don't hear me. I said I just want to die. God said, shut up, boy. Here, I got some work for you to do. Come here, I got some work for you to do. Yeah, but I just told you I would. I have a plan for your life. And I mean good for your life and not evil. But I need you to show up. I need you to step up to the plate so I can use you. And I don't need any more undercover Christians. I don't need any more Christians in the witness protection program. I don't need you. I need you to step up and stand out so that the world, I want the world to say to you about what they're saying to Judge Tammy Kemp. Ooh, you see how she gave that woman that Bible. Ooh, that was good. That was good. That was good. I wish to God that every person who names the name of Christ in the public square would integrate their faith with their daily lives. Let them howl. Let them scream. So what? I'm a child of the King. I get my orders straight from heaven. I ain't going to do you no wrong. I'm not going to do you any harm. But I'm not going to deny Jesus. Amen. So we talked about the persecution. We talked about the preparation that God had made for him. And then we talked about how God gave him the contrast, or what you might want to say the perspective between his ways and his power and the ways that the people who were persecuting him. And now we get down here to verse 18. Now God finally answers Elijah. Because Elijah's telling him, God, I am the only one left. I'm the only true servant that you have left. And God corrects him in verse 18. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. God said, you see through a glass dimly. I know the big picture. He said, I know the end from the beginning. And since I know the end from the beginning and everything in between, I'm saying to you, trust me. And how can I trust him? Here, I'm going to show you how you can trust me. I want you to look at the evidence that I love you. I love you so much that I sent my son to Calvary's cross. Because you're a sinner. You're a sinner deserving of hell. But I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have Zoe, life, everlasting life. I give it to you. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Would you take it? Would you stop running? Will you stop going in the opposite direction? Would you stop feeling justified in your rebellion to God? Verse 19, we're going to talk about, here is a portion of what all this is about. I call this portion, these verses, pass it on, pass it on. Verse 19, so he departed. God explained to Elijah, you don't know the big picture. I do. I've just given you a commission, and I've just given you a command. I said, go do the things that I tell you to go and do. He gave him three chores, three people to contact, three people to witness to. He gave him three things. Now in verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Japheth, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. You want to know one reason why God really doesn't want you in depression? Because when you're in depression, you're useless to the kingdom of God. Amen. You're useless to yourself. And God wants you to have life and have life more abundantly. So here's what happens, y'all. God gave, he gave Elijah three things to do. Three, he said, go and anoint a couple people, and then I want you to go and disciple Elisha. As y'all might know, you may well know, Elisha, S-H-A, asked Elijah for a double portion of the blessing that God gave him. But guess what? If Elijah is curled up in a ball in bed somewhere, there ain't gonna be no Elisha. If there's a mama in this room who's curled up in a bed somewhere because she can't face the world, understand, you got babies who are going to suffer. If there's a father here in this room, life is just so tough, you can't face it no more. Understand, if you fail, that next generation is going to suffer. See, God's got a plan for your life, and part of that plan is passing it on to the next generation. God said, I have poured some stuff into you. I have taught you and taught you. I have taught you some hard lessons. I don't even want to think about it. He said, but I have taught you some hard lessons. And I've taught you some wonderful lessons. But I want you to take what I've taught you. Speaking to Elijah, disciple Elisha. Get with this young man. Give him what you got, because you ain't long for this world. Everybody here, if you're here right now, you have an expiration date on you. You're not long for this world. If you live to be 100, you're not long for this world compared to eternity. He says, so through it all, understand, yes, you hurt. No, I did not once deny the pain, the depression. I did not, I would not, I cannot, because the Bible doesn't. But what I will tell you is you got a choice whether you want to stay in it or not, because God has given you a way out. God has given me a way out. And he says, follow my word. Listen to my word. Lift up my name and see, won't I do it? Taste and see, try me and see, won't I do it? Stop leaning on your own understanding. Stop holding your grudges and lift me up. Stop talking about I ain't got time to serve you, Lord, and lift me up. Elijah, J-A-H. I don't know if he came completely out of his funk, his depression. Because sometimes it's not instantaneous. But you know what I do know? He was obedient. He was obedient. Whether he understood it or not, it didn't matter. Whether he felt it or not, I'm sure that, in fact, when God asked him that second time, what are you doing here? A loose translation with, I feel like being here. That's why I'm here. Whether he felt it or not, it didn't matter. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah, but Lord, I give my money. Yeah, I come every Sunday. Obedience. I want you. I was doing fine before your money got here. I want you. I tried to buy my wife off with a TV set before we got married. Didn't work. Everybody around me getting married. She want to get married. I said, well, maybe if I give her a nice gift, she'll leave me alone. It worked for about 2 weeks. Y'all, obedience is better than sacrifice. I sacrificed for that TV set. I sacrificed. Amen. But God said, it's time. It's time. And my daddy said, if you let that one go, you're dumber than I thought you was. Amen. My daddy was right. Thank God for godly fathers who pass it on. Thank God for godly mothers who pass it on. Thank God for godly aunties who pass it on, godly sisters who pass it on, godly brothers who pass it on. But understand, y'all, if you don't get up out that bed, if you don't allow God to get you up out of that funk, you can't pass on anything, because nobody's interested in what you're selling if you ain't bought it. Give God a chance. Give God an opportunity. Like I said, it doesn't say that Elijah was over his hurt. It hurts when people want to hurt you. It's a heavy thing when people are talking bad about you, treating you bad. It's a heavy thing. But he obeyed God. Last thing, turn your Bibles to John 10:10. John 10:10. John 10:10. And it reads, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Church, if you're not living life, Zoe, if you're not living life and living life more abundantly, I want you to know today, deliverance is available to you. God bless you.